بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ ٹوڈے از دا 9th آف مے ان دا ایئر 2021 اینڈ الحمدللہ وی مووڈ آن ٹو دا 27th گلوریس ڈے آف دا ہولی منتھ آف رمضان اینڈ آئی ریچڈ ورس 90 آف سورۃ النساء. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 91. So before going to the verses, these verses are linked to the verses which I mentioned yesterday. And the verses prior referred to those hypocrites who broke away just prior to the battle of Uhud. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He gives them another opportunity to repent and to make good. But then in these verses which I'm going to go through now, an exception is made. So the exception in verse 89, i.e. the verse I went through yesterday, when it says seize them and slay them, this is the death penalty for repeated desertion, so those who continuously desert. But even after this desertion, there's an exemption in two cases. The first is where the deserter takes asylum with a tribe with whom there was a peace treaty with. So if a repeated deserter goes to a tribe, and that particular tribe, though they're not Muslims, they have a peace treaty with the Muslims, that will give exemption to that deserter. Such a tribe, even though outside the pale of Islam, might be trusted to keep the man from fighting against the forces of Islam. In the modern phrase, to disarm him and render him harmless. So this is the wisdom. If he goes to a neutral tribe, why do the Islamic law not pursue him? Because that tribe will neutralize him. So he's disarmed. So there's no point pursuing him. The second case for exemption is where the man from his own heart desires to never take up arms against Islam, although he does not wish to join the forces of Islam. However, he must make a real approach, giving guarantees of his sincerity. In the modern phrase, he will be on parole. So the second one is the one who still doesn't want to become Muslim, but he says, I will never take up arms against the Muslims. If that person comes forward sincerely, he's also exempt. We don't pursue him. So these are the two exemptions. So now, verse 90, the translation. Except those who join a group between whom you and there is a treaty, or those who approach you with hearts restraining them from fighting you as well as fighting their own people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had pleased, He could have given them power over you and they would have fought you. Therefore, if they withdraw from you but do not fight, instead send your guarantees of peace, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened no way for you, i.e. for combat. So now there was a reason for the revelation of this verse. This verse was revealed due to a very famous companion. So this is recorded in Ibn Abi Hatim and Ibn Mardawi. And Al-Hasan radiyallahu anhu, he relates. Suraka Ibn Malik Al-Mudliji radiyallahu anhu, he said, when Rasulullah was victorious sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Badr, and he pursued the polytheists on the day of Uhud, and his affair eventually became dominant in the neighboring lands of Badr and Uhud, those inhabiting there embraced Islam. I was told that Rasulullah was now sending Khalid bin Walid to my people, the Banu Mudlij. Thus I went to Rasulullah and said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so let's break this down. So Suraka ibn Malik, he was the chief of Banu Mudlij. It was a Bedouin tribe. And he was basically monitoring how the Muslims were developing. So when they won the Battle of Badr, and even after Uhud, they pursued the enemies, he saw Islam was becoming dominant. Then he heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now sending Khalid bin Walid to his tribe to sort them out. So before Khalid could come to his tribe, Suraka, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, by what you are granted of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace, I was told that you want to send to my people those to fight. And I want if you but to handle them with peace and kindness, on condition, if your people, the Quraysh, embraced Islam, we will surely follow them in belief. And if they did not embrace Islam, we would not support the enemies of you against him. So what happened? Suraka, being a very wise man, radiallahu, he knew that Khalid is coming. So he got in there first. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, we don't want to fight you. We have got no desire to fight you. But we are waiting for the Quraysh, because they were the master tribe. They were unbelievers at the time. If they embrace Islam, my people will embrace Islam. And if they don't, I give you my word that we will not raise arms against you. We won't help any alliance against you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then held Khalid bin Walid by his hand and said, you may go with him and do as he wishes. And Khalid then did as commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he took his word from Suraka. Then when the Quraysh eventually embraced Islam, Suraka eventually also embraced Islam with his tribe. This verse was then revealed. So look how beautiful, you've got context. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He said that there's two exceptions to the rule. Those who've betrayed you, they don't deserve mercy if they do it again. Except two exceptions. One is they go to a peaceful tribe who've got peace with you. Then don't pursue them, because that tribe will neutralize it. And the other is, if they themselves sincerely don't want to raise arms against you, but they don't want to become Muslims. That is the verse. But what was the reason for the revelation of that verse? Suraka, radiallahu anhu. And he basically said, we don't want to fight you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We won't raise an army. We won't help anybody to fight you. We're just waiting for the Quraysh. If they become Muslims, my tribe will become Muslims. And this shows the Prophet wasn't a warmonger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though he was now powerful, he goes, fine. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed this verse, meaning leave them. Let them in their own time come to the glorious deen. So now Suraka, what's shocking about this sahaba, he was the one that pursued Rasulullah and Abu Bakr on the Hijrah. So remember, there was that, you know, that ransom, Abu Jahl, he said, whoever captures Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Abu Bakr, alive or dead, I will give them 100 camels each. So Suraka was a master tracksman. He could find, you know, like they say, you know, something hidden in a mountain. So he basically knew from using his knowledge where the Prophet was, and he pursued, and eventually he caught up with the Prophet on the Hijrah. And Abu Bakr Siddiq looks back and he goes, Ya Rasulullah, he goes, he's reached us. So to quote a long narration short, Allah Ta'ala caused his horse to sink into the ground. So imagine he's on his horse, next minute half his horse is in the, and he falls off. So he's thinking, what's happened here, right? He gets back on the horse, manages to get the horse out of the ground. He starts galloping again. He falls again. Then he realizes that Rasulullah has been protected, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he calls out. He says, oh Muhammad, because I'm not after you. I give you my word. But please stop doing this. In other words, I know it's you that's causing this, making dua. So Suraka comes near. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invites him to Islam. But he then says the same thing. He goes, I have to discuss and think about this and the rest of it. So then he asks for a letter from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, he goes, when I do eventually embrace Islam, I want to have access to you. Can you give me kind of letter so I can show it, so I can see you? So the Prophet told Abu Bakr to give him a letter. And then what happened was, Suraka radiallahu anhu, in his heart, he's thinking, I've lost that. 200 camels. So right. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then says to him, Suraka, because maybe you feel that you've lost out. And he goes, what will happen one day? when you will wear the golden bracelets of the Persian emperor. Khosro. So Suraka looks at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he goes, the Persian emperor, his bangles. He goes, yes. He goes, you will wear it. And then he goes, if it does happen, it will happen. And he was shocked by that. Then when he went back, Abu Jahl, you know, he's wanting to know what's happened, where he's been. And he goes, you can't do anything against it. He goes, he's divinely protected. And so Abu Jahl goes, oh, his witchcraft affected you as well. So Suraka goes, listen, I'm telling you the truth. Nobody can get to him. He's protected. And then what happened? This is where this verse was revealed. When he hears about Khalid bin Walid coming, and he jumped. So what's shocking is he's already in his heart. He knows he's Rasulullah. But he's delaying for his tribe. He's like watching both sides to see what's going to happen. When he eventually embraces Islam, he became very firm in his deen. He does jihad. And then during Umar radiallahu anhu's khalifat, the Persian empire collapsed. And then the actual throne, I mean, the crown, the clothing, the bangles of the Khosrow came. And Umar radiallahu anhu then called Suraka. Suraka, come here. So he came and he goes, put this on. So he made him wear the crown, he made him wear the bangles, made him wear his clothes. Then he says, right, we need to parade in Al-Madinah. So he made him sit on a horse, and Umar radiallahu anhu was making him go around Al-Madinah. And the people are looking, thinking, what's this? And he goes, Subhanallah, a Bedouin from Banu Mudalich is wearing the Persian emperor's, you know, attire. So Suraka is going around thinking, Alhamdulillah, you know, I haven't lost out, you know, the Prophet that spoke the truth. Then what happened? After he was paraded, Umar radiallahu anhu said, now take it off. So Suraka then says, radiallahu anhu, he goes, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, he goes, the Rasulullah told me I could wear it. He goes, yeah, you wore it. He didn't say you could keep it. Right? And then he took it off. And then when he took it off, then he distributed the spells. So this was an amazing prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When did he make that prophecy? When he was fleeing for his life with Abu Bakr. Now at that time, if somebody goes, the Persian empire is going to collapse, you'd laugh. You're fleeing with your own life and you're promising this, the Persian empire is going to collapse and then the attire of the Persian emperor is going to be worn by this Bedouin. Only who but a prophet could speak like that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the reason for the revelation of this verse. With regards to, and this shows how beloved Suraka was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing about this verse is what Ibn Kathir mentions. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he recited the verse, verse 90, he said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَسِلُونَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٍ. Except those who join a group between you and whom there is a treaty. He goes, this has got two meanings. Except those who join and take refuge with the people with whom you have a pact of peace, or the people of Zimma, treat them as you treat the people with whom you have peace. This is mentioned by Ibn Ziyad, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir in his tafsir. So when it says, if they go to a place of peace, there's two people referred to. One is those who have peace with the Muslims, but they're not Muslims. Or the people of Zimma. The people of Zimma are those who are Muslims and they're paying tribute to the Muslims. If they go to them, they're also protected as well, according to what's being mentioned here. Then he quotes a hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Imam Ahmad's Musnad. It mentions the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Whoever liked to be aligned with the Quraysh, they were aligned with them. And those who were aligned with Rasulullah were aligned with him. Fairness. Some of the tribes chose to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though they were Muslims. And some of them chose to align with the unbelieving Quraysh. That also explains that when you're aligned, you are with them, even though they were Muslims. It was reported that Ibn Abbas said that this verse was later abrogated by another. In Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 5, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the sacred months have passed, kill the idolaters wherever you find them. This occurred 3 or 4 years later. I don't want to go into that. If you look at Surah Tawbah with the first 4 or 5 verses, Allah Ta'ala tells the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what to do with the unbelievers because he's preparing him for the final Hajj where all unbelievers are going to leave Makkah. And there were different types of treaties with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Abbas says that this particular verse was abrogated by that final verse in Surah Tawbah where there was now more harshness with regards to the people living in the Arabian Peninsula. Then Ibn Kathir said, verse 90, أَوْ جَاءُوكُمْ حَسِرَتْ سُلُورُهُمْ or those who approach you with their breasts restrained, meaning they are those who approach the Muslims with hesitation in their hearts because of their aversion to fighting the Muslims. They don't want to fight the Muslims. They do not have the heart to fight the Muslims against their own people. Therefore, they are neither with nor against Muslims, because they are also safe. So those who say, look, we don't want to raise an army against you, we don't want to build any, we just want time to think, give them time as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in this verse. Now if you look at the end of verse 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had pleased, he could have given them power over you, they would have fought you. Therefore, if they withdraw from you, fight them not. So what does that mean? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they could have fought you. So here the scholars point out, when they sincerely promise not to fight against you, do not pursue them. Remember, if they had fought against you, your difficulties would have been increased. Their neutrality itself may be a great advantage to you, so long as you are satisfied that they are sincere and their acts support their declarations of peace with you. You should not consider yourself justified in pursuing them and warring against them. So here, this is what Allah Ta'ala is referring to. He's saying that they could have fought, but they've come to you, they don't want to, you know, fight against you. So Allah Ta'ala is saying this is a great advantage to you, that they've neutralized themselves. Why? Because you have more enemies otherwise. Now, what does it mean, a great advantage? What led up to the conquest of Makkah? It was the breaking of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And what was the breaking of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah? It's when the allied tribe of the Muslims, who weren't Muslims, were attacked by the allied tribes of the Quraysh. So look how strange, nothing to do with the Muslims. But a tribe that had allied itself to the Muslims in the treaty had been attacked by an allied tribe of the Quraysh. The treaty had been broken. And what did the treaty that was broken lead to? Makkah falling. So there was the great advantage. So that tribe that had allied itself, though they weren't Muslims, didn't that become a great fruit of Islam? Right? So this is what Allah Ta'ala was saying. He goes, look, you've neutralized them. Allah Ta'ala is helping the cause, i.e. helping his beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verse 91. Others you will find that wish to gain your confidence as well as their own people. Every time they are sent back to fitna, they succumb to it. If they do not withdraw from you, nor give you guarantees of peace, besides restraining their hands, seize them and slay them wherever you find them. In their case, we have provided you with a clear argument against them. So now who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to here? So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he clarifies, rahmatullah alayhi, and he says, he quotes the verse, قُلَّا مَا رُدُّوا إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ أُرْكِسُوا فِيهَا. Every time they are sent back to fitna, they yield to it. Sudi said, rahmatullah alayhi, the fitna refers to shirk. This is in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So what does the Quran say? Every time they are sent back to fitna, they go back to it. Shirk. So these were people who were thought they were clever. They go, we're going to be sweet on both sides. We'll go to the Muslims, we'll pretend to be Muslims. Then we'll go to the Quraysh and believe and say, no, we're with you really. So Allah Ta'ala is talking about these people. Hafiz ibn Jarir recorded that Mujahid said this verse was revealed about a group from Makkah who used to go to the Prophet in Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pretending to be Muslims. However, when they went back to the Quraysh, they reverted to idol worship. They wanted to be at peace with both sides. Allah the Almighty commanded his messenger that they should be fought unless they withdraw from combat and resort to peace. So these were like the munafiqs, if you want to, you know, put it that way. They thought, look, whoever wins, we're on their side, but we'll make sure that we're on the winning side. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you get people like that and you know there's people like that, you've got the green light. In other words, these are traitors, right? They're causing harm to the glorious deen. And all of that is mentioned by Hafiz ibn Jarir. The other thing which is pointed out here is that even those are given a chance. What is their chance? They can withdraw I go to a peaceful tribe, they'll get protection, or they themselves can restrain their hands. If they don't even adopt that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you got right to deal with them. So these two beautiful verses are explaining how Allah the Almighty and Glorious is dealing with the munafiqs. Right? The Quran is explaining the seerah, and the seerah is a clarification of the Quran. They both go together. And the beauty of it is that Allah Ta'ala is not just telling you about history, He's telling you about how to deal with societies. Because if these similar incidents occur, we've been given guidance by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. So I'll recite the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إلا الذين يصلون إلى قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق أو جاءوكم حصرت صدورهم أن يقاتلوكم أو يقاتلوا قومهم ولو شاء الله لسلطهم عليكم فلقاتلوكم فَإِنْ اعْتَزَلُوكُمْ فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ وَأَلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمْ فَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبِيلًا سَتَجِدُونَ آخَرِينَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَأْمَنُوكُمْ وَيَأْمَنُوا قَوْمَهُمْ كُلَّمَا رُدُّوا إِلَى الْفِتْنَةِ أُرْكِسُوا فِيهَا فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْتَزِلُوكُمْ وَيُلْقُوا إِلَيْكُمُ السَّلَمَ وَيَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ فَخُذُوهُمْ وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ وَأُولَئِكُمْ جَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا. Just to add, should have mentioned, these are the places in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, seize them and slay them. But note the context. Allah Ta'ala is talking about a very specific context where people have betrayed the Muslims. They betrayed the Muslims, they're undermining the Islamic cause. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you here to deal with the munafiqs. So anybody who just on the street asks you, does the Quran mention that you should go and approach the unbelievers, besiege them, seize them and kill them wherever you find them? Yes, but the context is treachery. The context is treachery and it's under the combat of jihad. It's not a normal verse in the sense that we just go and see non-Muslims and start to besiege and slaughter them. And Shaykh Hamza actually mentions, Shaykh Hamza Yusuf al-Malik, he says there's a verse in the Bible which mentions, smash their babies' heads on the rocks. So he goes, I'm sure no Christian will go around getting innocent children and smashing their heads on the rocks. And obviously the Christians will say, the context, what's the context of that verse? So why is it you're asking for context in the Bible? And when it comes to the Quran, you're not bothered about the context. So note again here, this is where it's mentioned again, helping to explain why Allah Ta'ala has mentioned those very harsh words. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان ربي الحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله.